Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford of the Daily Journal, and you are tuned into Double Coverage. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. I cover Ole Miss. We're going to talk Egg Bowl here for a little while. We're glad you've chosen to click in with us today for this production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. And you can find us where you search for your podcasts. And while you're looking there, also look for The Memo, our news podcast with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. Lots of good stuff there with all the happenings in Northeast Mississippi. And you can follow us on Twitter. Look for @DoubleCoverage. Lots of good stuff there on Twitter. Logan, lots of good stuff for Ole Miss and Mississippi State both last weekend. Now we come up to the Egg Bowl, the final regular season game. Still a lot to play for both of these teams. Ole Miss with a slim shot at winning the SEC West and getting to Atlanta. That would require a monumental upset for Auburn against Alabama earlier on Saturday. That Iron Bowl game has a 2:30 kickoff. Ole Miss and MSU will kick off at 6:15 for ESPN2 later Saturday evening. So the Rebels will know whether they are mathematically eliminated or not by kickoff. I believe they will be. What do you think?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, Alabama's just been so dominant all season. I mean, their one slip up with against Ole Miss earlier in the year with five turnovers and still almost won that game with five turnovers. So that just tells you how dominant an Alabama team is. And you know, Auburn just hasn't looked that great all season. So, but I don't think we were here to talk about the Iron Bowl for all of our listeners that tuned in. We're going to get to the Egg Bowl soon enough. But, yeah, I think this Egg Bowl is going to come down for Mississippi State and Ole Miss to who gets the better bowl game. Obviously, both teams enter with an 8-3 overall record. So the winner's going to get the better bowl out of this one. And, of course, this is the second straight year that these two teams have met being ranked in the top 25. It doesn't really have the same type of national luster that maybe that last year's game had, but still very important to the people of this state, and should be a good ball game on Saturday.
And the better bowl game is going to be a pretty good one. The better bowl game will be for a 9-win team and could be the Sugar Bowl, depending on what the Sugar Bowl folks think about Florida. If Florida goes and gets waxed pretty good in the SEC championship game against Alabama, and this is a team that's had some injuries, had a difficult situation at quarterback with performance-enhancing drugs, but has still managed to win 10 games so far in the regular season, but has struggled as recently as Saturday against Florida Atlantic and FCS, or gosh, I don't know if they're FCS or FBS. I know they're the team you're not supposed to lose to in the Swamp. So anyway, Sugar Bowl could be out there for the winner of the Egg Bowl between Ole Miss and Mississippi State, even though, Logan, it has a little bit of not the same luster as last year. You know, last year will forever be remembered as the Mississippi Mayhem year. Both teams cracking the top three for a long period of time. State with a 5-week run at number one, really, really putting Mississippi college football in the national spotlight for much of last season. And even at the Egg Bowl, by the time Ole Miss had lost Laquon Treadwell and had gotten pushed around by Arkansas, State was still number four. You know, that was a big win for Ole Miss in Oxford last year. Now they go to Starkville. Still a lot to play for in this game. Let's look back at last week's games a little bit before we talk more about this year's matchup. Mississippi State and Arkansas. Logan, I think you put Ole Miss State and Arkansas in a hat and pull them out, and they're all pretty close. They've all got similar strengths with strong passing games, similar weaknesses with suspect secondaries, and three of those teams have now produced two games with more than 100 points scored. What did you see for Mississippi State at Arkansas?
I saw the wildest game I've ever covered, Parrish. I mean, it was just it was so many weird twists and turns throughout the game. Mississippi State, you know, goes up, I think it was 31-14 just before the half. Looks like Mississippi State's going to run away with it at Arkansas Stadium. Arkansas gets a late touchdown just before the half. You know, closes that gap a little bit, but Mississippi State still very much in control of that ball game. Get the ball first coming out in the second half, and they fumble the opening kickoff. Arkansas scores. First play from scrimmage on the next drive from Mississippi State. State throws an interception. Arkansas scores off of that. Three straight turnovers for Mississippi State resulted in 21 points for Arkansas. Next thing you know, Arkansas's up, got a pretty commanding lead. You know, all of a sudden it goes from, 31-14 to Arkansas's up 42-31, and looks like they're in control of the game. And Dak Prescott just kind of wheeled Mississippi State back into that ball game. You know, Mississippi State outscored Arkansas 20-8 in that fourth quarter. And Arkansas still, you know, even though Mississippi State scores with 3 minutes left to go in that game, Arkansas still drives down, sets up a makeable field goal for Arkansas, sets it up right there in the middle of the field, exactly what you want. And Boniquez Brown blocks the field goal. I mean, it's a pretty impressive, play, just for what Boniquez Brown did individually on that play to bust through that line and block that field goal. And it really helped Mississippi State's season. I mean, obviously, if you lose that ball game, you're probably looking at a Liberty Bowl type of bowl season. But now, like I said, this week, Mississippi State has a lot to play for in this Egg Bowl because of that win at Arkansas, and could end up in a pretty good bowl game for themselves.
Yeah, I was excited to see Ole Miss win against LSU because I feel like that Memphis proofed my holidays, Logan. I think that took me out of the Liberty Bowl discussion. I certainly hope so, but those were selfish reasons. Obviously, there's a lot more on the line for Ole Miss right now with a chance for a second consecutive 9-win regular season. Looking at that LSU game, Logan, I underestimated Brandon Harris. I thought he would be better. He was worse than I thought he would be. And I thought the LSU receivers would be better. Yeah, Harris completed barely 50% of his passes. He was 26 for 51, and there weren't just a lot of drops. You know, he missed receivers, and that's kind of been the MO on him this year. But he threw some balls that that could have been caught. You know, he threw a couple of deep passes against an Ole Miss secondary that has given up some big plays. You know, there was one where, the defender was step for step with the LSU receiver, and the ball just kind of went through the hands. It was a well-thrown ball. It went through the hands of the LSU guy. There was one in the end zone where Harris just missed his man high, but if the receiver jumps and makes an athletic play, I mean, a receiver shouldn't have to do that. The ball should be delivered more cleanly, more accurately, but that ball wasn't, and it was still a play where a guy jumps up and makes a catch. You know, I've seen that play before, but that didn't happen for Brandon Harris on that particular pass attempt. You know, LSU just looked dysfunctional at the beginning. Lots of penalties, just out of sync. They had a big play from Leonard Fournette to open the game that was wiped out with a holding call. Ole Miss had a few penalties, a few issues there at the beginning too, but fewer. It took the Rebels a while to really kind of assert themselves, but they did, and they got rolling there. And that game was just not very competitive except for kind of like, State there in Fayetteville, an early turnover. LSU gets the ball, to open the third quarter. They go down, they get a field goal. Then Jalen Walton fumbles the kick right after that. LSU recovers. They go in and punch it in, and all of a sudden, that's a 7-point game. And it was at that point that the Ole Miss offense responded and drove down and punched one in and really just took control from there. And, just a very interesting game. You don't usually see Ole Miss have such an easy time in the rivalry with LSU, but now the Rebels have won two of the last three and, lost 10-7 in Baton Rouge last year. But, they've had some recent success now against LSU and against Alabama. And, for the first time, they've beaten Alabama, LSU, and Auburn all in the same year. So both of these teams, Logan, coming into the Egg Bowl with confidence. You mentioned what that one win there in Arkansas, can mean for Mississippi State's season. I look at State and Arkansas and Ole Miss, and I see teams giving up big plays and passing yards. So what did you see from State in the secondary against Brandon Allen? I mean, he really had a big game against Ole Miss, and it looks like his numbers were similar against State.
Yeah, he threw 7 touchdown passes, none of them really long plays, which that was what beat Mississippi State in the Alabama game, just giving up 4 big plays of 60-plus yards for touchdowns against Alabama. Arkansas actually drove the ball down the field using the tight ends a lot. Hunter Henry, Jeremy Sprinkle had huge games for Arkansas. 5 of the touchdowns went to those 2 guys, so they utilized the tight end a lot, and that's something that Mississippi State hadn't really seen a whole lot of this year, is going to the tight end. But Mississippi State secondary is beat up. Their 2 most experienced players entering the year, Kendrick Market and Will Redmond, are both out for the year. Neither one of those guys can play, haven't played in weeks. Torn ACLs took care of their season. So Mississippi State's got really young, really fast back there. Tevez Calhoun is really their only experienced player in the secondary, returning at cornerback. And Kevon Coleman has been a starter for him at safety all year. But, back there at safety, they're relying on a couple of true freshmen to come in and play a lot of reps and a lot of downs. And Mark McLaurin and Jamal Peters, those 2 guys are very, very talented, but just very inexperienced. And sometimes you have to deal with that kind of stuff. And Talendo Cleveland is played for Will Redmond the last few weeks, and it's kind of hit and miss. He didn't have a very good game against Arkansas at all. So that's something to watch, especially a team that likes to chunk the ball down the field like Ole Miss does. And Ole Miss has a good tight end as well, and Evan Ingram, and really hurt him last year in the Egg Bowl in Oxford. So that's something to keep an eye on. When you have a combination like Laquan Treadwell and Evan Ingram, which Treadwell didn't play in last year's Egg Bowl. So that's another added weapon that Mississippi State's got to account for this year.
Well, one more note on the Ole Miss LSU game, and then we'll spin it forward to the Egg Bowl. I knew that Ole Miss was going to have to slow down Leonard Fournette to have a chance to win that game, and they were able to do that. We're actually able to do it better than I thought they would. I gave the Rebels a fair chance because they've been pretty good in their run defense this year. They've been better against the run than the pass, and that's not necessarily a matchup that will favor them against Mississippi State, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But they were able to slow down Leonard Fournette, and they were able to do it without some sure tacklers in the lineup. The Denzel Kamdichi story kind of broke after we produced double coverage last week. Denzel was not available. He did not play for something that was described as a personal matter by Hugh Freeze on a Wednesday. Freeze stood up before media last Wednesday night and listed Denzel Kamdichi as questionable. Well, then it became clear that Kamdichi had been in ICU, had been in the hospital, and it would have been a real stretch for him to play. Freeze didn't rule him out against State. He did not rule out the possibility of Denzel Kamdichi playing in that game, but said that Denzel is under the supervision of his parents and their doctors, and they'll follow the lead of those folks on that. I would not expect to see Denzel Kamdichi against Mississippi State. The Rebels will also are expecting to be without Fadal Brown, who did not play against LSU, defensive end, another sure tackler. A senior, a guy who is effective against the run and also leads the team in quarterback pressures. And they didn't have C.J. Hampton, a starting safety, against LSU, and he's listed as day-to-day this week. So Ole Miss really did a good job of gang tackling, getting helmets to the ball. Rarely did Leonard Fournette have the numbers. Rarely was he in a one-on-one situation. When he was, he won those matchups most of the time. Not all the time, but Ole Miss a good job against him, particularly Kamdichi's replacement sophomore DeMarcus Gates, who had been playing and had been a big factor this season, but he was making just his second career start and finished with 14 tackles and was named SEC Defensive Player of the Week. Looking ahead, Logan, to Mississippi State, I've thought this entire season as these teams, as the season has played out for these teams, that Dak Prescott was going to be a really, really difficult matchup for Ole Miss for a couple of reasons. One, he's improved so much as a passer. The run threat obviously is there, and he's such a big factor in State's run game. But the run game is not where State threatens people right now. Dak is a much better passer. Just 3 interceptions this season. I want to hear from you in just a moment on how he's been able to keep that number so low. But when I look at Ole Miss in their losses, Logan, opponent quarterbacks have completed passes at a rate of 76%. It's phenomenal. what good quarterbacks have been able to do to the Rebels. And I don't think Brandon Harris is in that category, but I think Dak Prescott is. And before the last couple of weeks, I really thought Ole Miss was going to go to Starkville and lose. Now I think this game is more of a toss-up because of how Chad Kelly has played the last 2 weeks. Going into the Arkansas game, he was on a streak of about three games with multiple interceptions. He's thrown 12 interceptions this year, hasn't protected the ball in quite the same way that Dak Prescott has, but now he's got, you know, two back-to-back turnover-free games. He's been responsible for 10 touchdowns in those games. He's throwing the ball at a high rate, making better decisions. They add Laquon Treadwell to the mix, as you mentioned, and you brought up Evan Engram. They haven't used him in the same way this year. They haven't thrown to the tight end as much, but had an excellent play call on a third down that went for a 36-yard touchdown to Engram last week. Just a throwback screen. They had set it up by going to the right for a couple of plays, and they moved the pocket right again, and then Kelly stopped and threw back to Engram, and he had green space and teammates. He had to get a block, kind of make one guy miss, but there just weren't numbers around him, and it was a pretty easy run to the end zone, a great play call and an example of the athleticism that Engram still has. They'll use him more next year as a pass catcher when Treadwell is no longer around, I'm sure. But anyway, because of the way Chad Kelly's playing right now and because of what I'm seeing a little bit from the Mississippi State secondary, seeing what the Arkansas did there, you know, I think Chad Kelly's going to give the Rebels a chance.
Yeah, and you talked about the three interceptions for Dak Prescott all season. One of those, the one that he threw last weekend in the second half against Arkansas, was actually a perfectly thrown ball. It hit Darunya Wilson in the face mask and bounced in the air, and that was one of his interceptions. So you really can't fault Dak on that one at all. He went the first eight games of the season without throwing an interception. His first interception came against Kentucky, which was the last game they played in October. So he's been very efficient with the football. He's protected the football. And Mississippi State's so deep at receiver. They just have so many guys that they can roll out there and play at a pretty high level that Dak's been very comfortable. Even though Mississippi State's run game hasn't been what they wanted it to be this season, the depth that they have at wide receiver has been able to overcome that a lot. And yeah, Dak's, you know, got all kinds of national attention last year. A lot of that had to do with the season that Mississippi State was having. He's not getting that same type of national attention this year, and a lot of that has to do with the season Mississippi State's having as well.
And I don't understand that, Logan, because they had a couple of early losses. This team is 8-3. They lost to Alabama. You know, the Texas A&M game, you know what, A&M was playing at a higher level at that time. I don't understand why there's not more conversation about Dak Prescott and the season he's having right now. Even 8-3. I mean, we're not talking about we're not talking about a sub 500 team. We're talking about a team that if they win the game, you know, they're going to be 5-3 in the SEC, and you know, and maybe a Sugar Bowl team. But you're not hearing Dak Prescott much outside of this area. Now, I'll tell you what, you don't hear a whole lot about Chad Kelly. It seems to me like when there are discussions for all SEC quarterback, that then you hear about Dak, then you hear about Brandon Allen. Certainly Allen has jumped on the scene late, but it's going to be a very interesting matchup in the Egg Bowl with both quarterbacks.
Right, and you know, you're looking at Dak's numbers, they're phenomenal. I mean, it's a lot better season this year than last. And, you know, Dak didn't even play. He only played two series against Troy. He was sick with the stomach virus that day, and he started the game, made a couple of scoring drives there early, and they got him out of the game. And you know, that's a Troy game where Dak Prescott could have put up some huge numbers to kind of pad his stats to help in some of these national awards and that type of thing. But you know, Dak Prescott, you look at the season that Mississippi State's having, and Dak Prescott's a huge reason why. I mean, Mississippi State was picked last in the SEC West this year, and you know, here they are at 8 wins and looking for number 9 as we finish out the regular season.
Well, it should be a very entertaining Egg Bowl. I do think it will be high scoring, and you know what, home field is huge in this series, and you know, Ole Miss players on Monday talked about it as just another place that you go and play, and all road venues are difficult. You know, I do think Kelly can go in and move the ball against the Mississippi State secondary. I think he can help the Rebels score some points and get in the end zone. I do think the potential for a high-scoring game is here. You always talk about quarterbacks needing to be mistake-free. That's especially true on the road. And that's where, Logan, I think that the environment could come into play. It could be the environment. It could be the hostility. It could be the cowbells. Chad Kelly told us on Monday that he'd never seen a cowbell until he started watching the games on TV. And, you know, and I'll give you that. Chad Kelly, just listening to him talk, the dialect, it's very urban. He's a very urban guy, you know, up there from Buffalo, New York. But, you know, Mr. Google can help us out with a lot of things, Logan. When I punched in a few keywords in a search, I discovered that there are at least three dairy farms less than an hour's drive from Buffalo. So Chad Kelly has had opportunities to be around cowbells. You know, so they got some dairy farms up there in Buffalo. And the first place, his first college football experience was Clemson. They got some cows over there. I've been to Clemson, you know. So anyway, Chad Kelly said he had not seen cowbells till he started watching, had seen some Mississippi State games on TV. He's going to be introduced to them with great fury in the Egg Bowl. And that's where, Logan, I think home team could come in to – the home field advantage could come into play here. When you talk about guys having to be mistake-free, that type of hostility could force a mistake and it could turn the game.
Yeah, and in talking to Dak Prescott this week, he actually told us that this is the reason why he came back this year. He did the loss in Oxford last year really just stuck with him, and he wanted to kind of write that and finish out his story the right way in his mind here at Mississippi State and go out a winner in the Egg Bowl, bringing the Golden Egg Trophy back to Starkville. And that's his intentions. You could just hear it in his voice and see the expression, you know, on his face that he's serious about that. And I know that probably going to see the best we've seen out of Dak Prescott in this game. You know, like I said, he has to be mistake-free. That's something he wasn't last year in Oxford. Didn't play very well. He was banged up in that game, as you could kind of tell. Towards his numbers started to taper off as the season went on a year ago. He wasn't healthy. And we talked to him on Monday, and he said this is the healthiest he's ever been this late into the season. So he's a full go, and should be a good game. I think it'll be another type of game like I saw last weekend between Dak Prescott and Brandon Allen. You know, like you said, Chad Kelly's playing at an unbelievable level right now, playing turnover-free football, and that's always been huge for him because he's played well this season, but he was turnover-prone, and you know, he's taken care of the football over the last few weeks, and you know, it should be a great game, you know, between two quality quarterbacks. And I guess I need to give a injury report for Mississippi State. You gave one for Ole Miss earlier. Justin Senior, Mississippi State's right tackle, set out of the Arkansas game last week with an ankle injury. He'll be back this week. They held him out. He could have played against Arkansas, but they started redshirt freshman Elkton Jenkins there. Jenkins did fine. They didn't have to use Senior at all. Mullen said that he wasn't, you know, the Senior wasn't 100% in that game, so they opted to hold him out on a cold night. They expect to have him back this week. The only player that is questionable for Mississippi State this week is tight end Gus Wally. So that's really the only injury that Mullen said that they actually came out of the Arkansas game healthier than they went into the Arkansas game.
Well, that's always a goal for coaches, I know, every time they line up and play. Hey, folks, we thank you for joining us for this edition of Double Coverage. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at DJ Double, and remember to check out the memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, all things happening in Northeast Mississippi. We hope you have a good Thanksgiving. Hang around after this, folks. There's going to be an interview that I was able to have earlier this week with Cole Kubelik, SEC Network analyst, radio show host out of Huntsville. He's going to tell us what has to happen for Auburn to pull off that monumental upset against Alabama and give Ole Miss a chance to play for the SEC West title in Starkville. I'm joined now by Cole Kubelik, radio analyst in Huntsville, Alabama, and also an SEC Network analyst as well, former Auburn player, offensive lineman, center. Cole, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm great, Parrish. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you for coming on. Just a couple of quick questions for you, Cole. I know there is a lot of interest in Mississippi in the Iron Bowl this year, maybe more so than usual, because Ole Miss is still alive for a shot at the SEC West title if Auburn can spring what I think would be a monumental upset against Alabama. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit and just look, not for matchups and all of those things within the game. I think most people who follow the SEC have seen a lot of both of these teams by now. But what in your mind has to happen for Auburn to pull off a win?
Well, I think Auburn needs some help, Parrish. I don't really believe you can sugarcoat that. A couple turnovers, maybe a game similar to the Ole Miss-Alabama game, where Alabama gives Auburn a couple short fields and they can turn that into quick points. Building a lead, I think, would be fantastic. I don't think Alabama's a football team that's really built to play from behind. So if that scenario could play its way out, I think that'd be a big advantage for Auburn. Auburn has to have some success down the field, stretching the field vertically. And that's another thing I think you saw Ole Miss kind of have some success with somewhat early on in that game that they had against Alabama earlier this year. And they're the only team that's defeated Alabama. So Jeremy Johnson is a guy that gives them a little bit of a dual threat at quarterback. I think he will be the guy. I think the coaches would like it to be Sean White if he was healthy, but that could be just too dangerous to put him in a situation against one of the best defenses in the nation and ask him to move around and do some different things. Auburn will not attempt to run right at Alabama in a similar fashion to what Georgia did or LSU did. I think you think back to what Ole Miss attempted to do, what Tennessee had some success with. Teams like that, the pick and hinge schemes, the pulling schemes, pulling guards, power, those types of plays are what Auburn will attempt to run on. And I think this is one of the better, if not the best. It's kind of odd how I view the offensive lines in the SEC, because the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season, it was a no-brainer that it was LSU. And I think maybe the first week it was Arkansas, and then fifth and sixth week after Alabama and LSU's offensive line began to go downhill, Arkansas sort of reemerged a little bit as a different group that was pretty good. Alabama has been really good at times and very inconsistent, not so great at other times. So I think this is, I'm not going to say it's the best, but it's one of the best offensive lines that Alabama will have faced. And I think that obviously gives Auburn a bit of an advantage. They must have balance. They're going to have to find some ways to run the football just to make life easier on Jeremy Johnson and the wide receivers. They've got to challenge that team vertically. And then on defense, it's not even schematic. It's just find a way to get Derrick Henry to the ground. And you saw Kim Dichie and you saw Jones and you saw some of those guys speaks. For that Ole Miss defensive line, able to get into the backfield, penetrate, disrupt, not allow him to get that full head of steam that when he does, he ultimately is very dangerous. So those are the areas I think Auburn needs to have some success if they're going to have a chance to knock off Alabama.
And that's what it's really about with those big backs, isn't it? It's team tackling and just hitting them before they get to the second level, slowing them down, not letting them get uncontested into the secondary. Is that mostly what you have to do?
Absolutely. And I think change of direction maybe goes along with that. If you can penetrate and you can force Derrick Henry to change direction in the backfield, it's not going to help every time and it's not going to ultimately lead in a tackle for a loss on every play, but it gives you a big advantage from a pursuit standpoint to allow some of your defensive teammates to come in and to make a tackle. So I think that's one reason penetration is critical against this group, and it can happen. They're in the bottom third nationally in tackles for loss allowed. So it's a group that can be dominant, has been dominant, but like I said, also inconsistent, where they'll allow some leakage and allow guys to get into the backfield and make plays.
You talk about the importance of Auburn stretching the field. How equipped are they to do that right now? Where do you see Johnson in his comeback, in his remake? But I'm thinking more, too, about those Auburn receivers. They were coming off a very poor performance at Arkansas when I saw them against Ole Miss, and it wasn't an outstanding Auburn passing game that I saw that day, but I saw Auburn receivers get behind the Ole Miss secondary and make plays.
Ricardo Lewis is obviously the biggest threat. He's the leading receptions and team leader in receiving yards, so I think he's a guy that if you get a 50-50 ball look, if you get a one-on-one, he's probably going to be someone that you give the majority of those chances to. Melvin Ray is a bigger target, a more physical target. I think 25 of his 28 career receptions have come for a first down or a touchdown. So he's kind of a big third down possession receiver, but I think over the middle of the field is where he could be extremely dangerous. You've got some guys that have begun to come on a little bit late. I think Marcus Davis is someone who is not going to blow you away with his speed, but a good route runner and has consistent hands. We saw Rock Thomas sort of reemerge against Idaho as maybe a threat out of the backfield. He catches the ball well, and he only had one touchdown coming into the Idaho game, and that was off of a reception. He had a big reception in the game there last week for Gus Malzahn's offense. So I think there are some options there, but it's not a very deep group, and there's obviously not a guy like a Treadwell that's just going to be dominant and has been for the majority of the season. But hitting those guys on some quick throws, some intermediate throws, Jason Smith in the slot, running the ball through the air a little bit, will not only loosen the Alabama defense and push them to run and hopefully wear them down a little bit, but also it gets some of those big bodies off the field. And that's where you've seen Alabama be so dominant against the teams like Arkansas, Georgia, and LSU that want to go right at them. And you just physically can't match up with them. Well, you get against an Ole Miss or an Auburn, or what Mississippi State tried to do, which was go empty about 80% of the time, backs in the backfield or no tight ends. And all of a sudden you force them to put those lighter bodies on the field. Now they have better edge rushers this year than they've had under Nick Saban, but that's just something that you got to gamble with that. You got to hope that Sean Coleman's back healthy at tackle and Avery Young can hold his own at right tackle. And that offensive line has a pretty good understanding of where to be and how to manage that Alabama pass rush. But that's where Auburn will have the advantage is spreading that defense out and hopefully removing some of the bigger, more physical bodies off that defense.
Cole, what do you think about the Egg Bowl over here in Mississippi? I see a couple of teams that are fairly evenly matched. Good quarterback play, good receiver play. State's not running it that well. A lot of similarities here. Neither team has performed extremely well in the secondary. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, I think it's I will never count Dak Prescott out of any game. And I think if they get some points earlier against Alabama, they had a chance to make that game dangerous late. I felt like the defense just wore down. I think Prescott should be invited to New York. I think he deserves a legitimate look as far as being a Heisman Trophy winner. He definitely should be a candidate. And that defense is scary up front. Parrish, I didn't really notice it until the Alabama game. And Derrick Henry and guys like Ardarius Stewart and Calvin Ridley, the true freshman receiver, I saw multiple Mississippi State defenders on the back end have angles at Alabama ball carriers and just get walked away from. I think back end speed is an area of concern for me when it comes to Mississippi State. And obviously, with a deep, wide receiver group that can run, I think that could be a huge advantage for Hugh Freeze and his offense. And Chad Kelly, someone who obviously has the arm strength to stretch the field. We had him against UT Martin earlier this year, and first thing that popped out to me was just the velocity and the low level that he threw his deep balls, which makes it very hard to gain turnovers against him. And I think he understands the quick distribution game, but also has the guys that if you find one-on-ones, you feel comfortable taking shots with, but guys who can also get past defenders at times. And I think the Ole Miss receiving core is just flat out faster and more athletic than the Mississippi State secondary. And I think that's going to be a gigantic edge. You mentioned it, no run game really for Mississippi State. I don't think either one of these teams has a run game that I would want to write home about. There's not going to be any offensive line clinic tape used as far as the running game goes when this game's said and done. But the Ole Miss defense, you saw Kim Beachy come in with some pass rush moves. He's had games where he flashes and then he kind of goes away, flashes and goes away. But I liked what I saw from him last week. And we saw what Alabama did to this offensive line from Mississippi State. And I know Justin Senior struggled at right tackle, and the group hasn't really been great the entire year. Well, if Kambich is coming off one end, and Marquise Haynes is doing what he does and utilizing his speed and quickness off another edge, and Dave Womack is mixing guys around and showing different fronts and bringing some different blitz combinations, rolling coverages, I think it could be another very difficult day for Dak Prescott in the pocket, even though I think he'll still get his. There's not a lot you can do to overcome negative plays when you can't even get comfortable in your drop, and I think that'll be also a big advantage for the Rebels.
I think it could be, but they've got to make the play when they get there, and that's something that they haven't done a great job of this year. They've gotten into the backfield and been disruptive, but they've got to get those guys to the ground a little bit better. Should be an interesting Egg Bowl and perhaps a high-scoring one. Cole, thank you very much for your time, man. We appreciate your work. Give us your Twitter name again. I want to make sure I get this right, folks. He's a good follow on Twitter because he'll mix it up with you. What's that, Cole?
It's just at Cole Kubelik, C-O-L-E-C-U-B-E-L-I-C.
Cole, thanks a lot, man. We'll catch up with you later.
Thank you, Parrish.